the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about. Talk Radio
Countdown. The more complex the problems are that the government creates, the harder I try to figure a way how you transition out of them. And there is a way you can do this in medicine. It's a mess. You repeal this law, it's going to be messier. What I would say is just let people opt out. Always have a chance. You know, in education we say opt out. Have private education at home, education, get your taxes back on a tax credit. In medicine, it's the medical savings account. Let the patient control their funds. Let them have major medical. Let them deal with the doctor. So you have to introduce competition, allow people to opt out of the system completely. Just opting out of that mandate to buy private insurance is a good step, but that doesn't solve the whole problem. I want always a chance to use the free market if you want to, and the people in this country ought to have a right to do it.
That's Ron Paul weighing in on the debate over Obamacare. As the Supreme Court readies their ruling, it is expected to be later today. The battle over health care is where we get started this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Welcome on in. Let's get started by listening to an excerpt of an interview on Fox. Megyn Kelly talked to a medical panel. Dr. Richard Fersheen, Dr. Bob Lahita, and Dr. Mark Siegel. They talk about the medical community's concerns on how the Supreme Court may rule regarding the health care plan.
Does this surprise you, the negativity among the doctors on the expectation it will decrease the quality of care and that it will interfere between the doctor and the patient relationship?
Well, doctors for a long time have been very concerned about this particular program, and for the important reason. Two-thirds of the doctors who were surveyed last year said that this was going to be a problem. 90% said that it was going to cause increased costs in health care. Doctors are on the front line. They know what's going on. They see how patients are treated and how they can treat patients. Right now, we know that 15,000 doctors, we're short of about 15,000 primary care doctors. By 2025, estimates are that 160,000 more doctors will be needed just to help handle the excess numbers of patients that will be included in this plan.
So there's a doctor shortage, Dr. Lahita, but why does that play into, why does that mean that in conjunction with the health care laws, these doctors are saying the relationship between patients and doctors gets affected?
Well, right now, doctors are in a big rush to see patients. I mean, if you have the average practice, the physician doesn't spend as much time with the patient as he or she used to.
We've all experienced that. It's like in and out, in
absolutely. And patients don't like that. They want to take time with their physicians. I was up in Massachusetts recently talking to specialists, and I'm a specialist in rheumatology, and the doctor said, well, they were flooded with primary care patients because they really wanted to see a physician, and there weren't enough primary care doctors out there to visit.
And now you see your primary care doctor, and he gives you four referrals for other doctor specialists instead of just, you know, doctoring you himself.
Exactly.
Not Dr. Siegel, he's good.
He or she doesn't have enough time to see the individual patient and spend 15, 20, 30 minutes with the patient, which is what the patients want.
Mm-hmm. But Dr. Siegel, I still don't understand, how does the health care law impact that?
Because the health care law adds many, many more regulations, guidelines, and observations about what's good care and what isn't, coming from committees that are making recommendations even as we sit here. This week it was about obesity. U.S. Preventive Services Task Force says we should be doing counseling for obesity. Every time one of those guidelines comes in, if it gets adopted by insurance, if it gets adopted by the Independent Medicare Advisory Board, which is part of Obamacare, if that happens, then doctors get told how to practice. We don't like getting told how to practice because we feel, the three of us probably agree, yeah, practicing medicine is a one-on-one situation. There are different wrinkles with each patient. There are different permutations. Guidelines help you, but if an insurance says, I ain't covering that, that's not been proven, can't do a mammogram over the age of 40, can't do a pap test, you know, we're told what we can't do, we can't practice.
But I thought that the Obamacare law was supposed to add services for us, preventative care in particular, making insurance companies cover costs that they previously were refusing to. Isn't that good for patients?
Well, it's a good idea in principle. What's happening now is we really don't have a good understanding of what it makes what it takes to have good preventive care. We know that obesity right now is a huge problem. 66% of the population is either overweight or obese. We know that people still smoke. 42 million Americans still smoke. Until we get to the core issues, we could pay for health care. Until we get to the core issues about why Americans are unhealthy and what we can do to prevent those problems, we're not going to solve it by telling doctors what to do.
Up next, more comments and speculation about the anticipated Supreme Court ruling on Obamacare here on the Countdown.
Are you struggling each month to make ends meet? Could an extra $1,000 help you out today? Would restructuring your credit card debt into a lower, more manageable payment make life easier? Well, there is hope. A national consumer advocacy network comprised of lenders and professional credit advisors is ready to help you. Just text the word FREE to 20300 for instant information on programs that can help you. Text the word FREE to 20300 right now. Message and data rates may apply.
Final days of Lumber Liquidators liquidation sale.
Three global flooring suppliers came to us to liquidate their excess inventory. We bought the flooring, and you get the deals at a major meal liquidation sale. If it's in stock, it's on sale, but you must pick it up before the month ends. Get first quality laminates, hardwood, and bamboo for up to 54% less. Plus, too many other amazing deals to mention here. And get special extended financing. These deals will not last. If it's in stock, it's on sale, but only through Saturday at Lumber Liquidators. Visit LumberLiquidators.com for your local store.
Listeners are discovering a simple way to earn money. We're talking quit your nowhere job and work from home type of money. IncomeAtHome31.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home. Listen to this.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs and we're both at home full time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
Listeners, IncomeAtHome31.com is A-plus rated for their business ethics. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company and they do business in over 75 countries. No selling soap. No pressure. No cold calling. They bring money-making opportunities to your computer, either full or part-time. If you're ready to make a change and start earning money from home, go to IncomeAtHome31.com now. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome31.com. IncomeAtHome31.com. That's IncomeAtHome31.com.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries. Oh, no. We install them fast and free with purchase on most vehicles. And we mean fast. If strapping on an experimental jetpack would help us install your battery any faster, we'd do it. Unfortunately, jetpacks can be squirrely. Too bad, because we really wanted those things. Fast, free battery installation at Advance. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
Stop by Ace this weekend through July 4th and save $10 on a canopy chair, now just $19.99.
The weekend is coming!
Or save $8 on a kid's canopy chair, now just $9.99. So visit your local Ace and get saving, then get your weekend back. At Ace, the helpful place. Price is good at participating Ace stores June 29th through July 4th. Additional conditions and exclusions apply.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
See store for details.
The Talk Radio Review. The focus is Obamacare and the Supreme Court. Here are hosts Mike Moss and Bruce Allen talking to Nora O'Donnell of CBS about how the White House is preparing for the Supreme Court ruling.
Nora, is the White House doing anything to prepare for what might come down from the High Court?
You bet they're preparing. They're preparing for all scenarios, that the Supreme Court upholds the entire law, that they strike down the whole thing, or that they just strike down the mandate, which would end also coverage for those with pre-existing conditions. So I think you'll probably see, depending on the outcome of the Supreme Court ruling, the president addressing the nation in some form, because this is his signature piece of legislation of his first term.
Yeah, it was sort of interesting hearing the president describe himself as being something less than perfect. Of course, that's the description of any human being. But, you know, in a presidential campaign, you don't hear that very often, do you?
No, you certainly don't, right? And we also heard the president last night in Miami at a fundraiser deliver a forceful defense of his health care reform bill. He said Romney wants to roll back the reforms that have helped sick people, that have put 3 million young people, allowed them to stay on their parents' insurance, and, of course, that has given drug coverage to more seniors. So I think we're going to have a fight again over the merits of this health care reform bill, no matter what the Supreme Court rules. It's interesting. Certainly, if they uphold the whole thing, the president will feel vindicated. If they strike down the mandate, I think you'll hear the White House come out and say, look, these are the important parts of the health care reform bill that people like. And you'll hear the Republicans continue to say, this whole thing has got to be repealed on day one. But interestingly, the onus now becomes on the Republicans. They have said they want to repeal and replace it. What do they want to replace it with? Mm-hmm. There's a report in one of the newspapers today that the House Republicans have no plans to move on any new health care legislation this year.
Does the White House think the rest of it can survive if the mandate is struck down?
They do. Interestingly, about 80% or so of the law will stay intact if the mandate is struck down. Really, the only thing that's coupled is that if the mandate, and we're talking about something that mandates that individuals and employers cover their employees, if that is struck down, the one thing that's tied to that, or that the administration argues is tied to that, is the coverage for pre-existing conditions, that you can't discriminate against those kinds of people. You might still be able to maintain that children under 26 can stay under their parents' insurance, that there'll be coverage for preventative care services like mammograms, immunizations for children, contraceptive coverage, all of that stuff could still stay in place if only the mandate is struck down.
Yeah, if they focus on health care, again, the polls are sort of, you know, 50-50 when it comes to where the American public is on all of this. Does it take the focus off of the economy, which clearly is issue number one for voters?
No doubt. But remember, the health care makes up 1/6 of our economy. It is a big deal. It affects all of us. Certainly affects us if we're older, because we tend to go to the doctor a lot more, certainly. But I don't think it necessarily takes its focus off the economy. I think that there are people that feel very strongly about this issue on health care. There are people that feel that the president either overstepped his bounds as president by mandating this coverage, or there are people who say, finally, I'm not going to be discriminated against because of pre-existing conditions I have, or because I'm out of work, or whatever it may be. So I still think it's a central issue for people. Even though people say the economy and jobs is number one, healthcare is still a big deal.
Here's host Brian Schimming talking about why he hopes the Supreme Court does the right thing and throws out all of Obamacare.
I am hoping they throw out the whole thing. The whole thing goes down the tubes. That may not happen. May not happen. But I am telling you, people, this is a huge, huge moment by this Supreme Court. Now, these guys are smart. These guys are smart. And I just have to believe it sounds like Justice Roberts, I should say Chief Justice Roberts, is writing the decision. But just on the issue of the individual mandate, not the taxes, not that it's blowing a huge hole in the budget, the employer mandate, the insurance rating rules, all of that, just on the issue of whether the federal government has the authority to force you and I to pay for services we do not want, that we do not desire. Just on that issue alone, this is huge. It is breathtaking. If they get away with this, people, I'm telling you what, it's not just hold your wallet, it's be concerned about your rights as a citizen of this country, not to have your federal government compel is a nice word. Force is a much more accurate word. Force you to do things that you as an individual citizen do not want to do. It's not about enforcing the law. It's not about any of that. It's about them saying to you or I, look, citizen of Milwaukee, or Greenfield, or Fond du Lac, or Racine, we're going to force you to buy health care. We're going to force you to do it. That is the thing that shakes me down to the bones.
Up next, let's move to some other major political events. As a matter of fact, the contempt of Congress vote on Attorney General Holder comes up later today, too. We'll discuss that next on The Countdown.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, camel milk. Camel milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and camel milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And camel milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking Camel Milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel Milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under Products and Pricing for the Spring Special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-685-9751. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-685-9751. That's 800-685-9751. Again, 800-685-9751.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The world of talk radio and talk television, the talk media, that's what we survey every day here and come up with a hot top 10 list every weekend. The contempt of Congress vote against Eric Holder is now in our crosshairs. Here's host Chip Morris talking about the way both sides are kind of spinning the issue.
If you haven't figured it out, it is game on. Daryl Issa sent a strongly worded letter to the president. I know, it's hard to believe, but he's not backing down. He said this, according to the Daily Caller, he actually is challenging his assertion of executive privilege in the investigation of Operation Fast and Furious. He says the assertion can only mean one of two things. Now, if he's wrong, if there's a third possibility, that's what I'm interested in hearing. One, either the highest level of the White House were involved in an effort to mislead Congress, or Obama is deliberately obstructing the investigation. I've been having some fun going and looking at some lefty websites as to what they say about this, and you know, mostly it's that somehow this is it was Bush's program, and it was simply a botched operation. And the only reason that these people are doing this is because they're trying to embarrass the president. And I actually weighed in on one of them, and I haven't gotten much of a response. It's a fairly I don't want to say mainstream, but it's a fairly big brand, if you will, of internet website, Talking Points Memo. And you know, after dispelling the notion that that Operation Wide Receiver is somehow grew into Fast and Furious, when Operation Wide Receiver was in fact started in 2006 but ended in 2007, whereas Fast and Furious started in September of 2009, and we still, we know it was a botched operation. My question was, how do you know it was a botched operation? You don't know what the tactics used were. You don't know what the purpose of the plan was. You can generically say that it was about stemming the flow of guns into Mexico. But how does that work out practically when you're sending weapons into Mexico without any methodology of tracking them until they come up at a crime scene?
Host Steve Gill says he thinks Congressman Daryl Issa knows exactly what's in the document that Eric Holder has refused to release.
Republicans are continuing the pressure on Eric Holder to get the documents he is hiding from Congress with respect to Fast and Furious. Let me just give you a little insight into the kind of lawyers that are at work here. Daryl Issa and the others that are pushing for the release of these documents. Good lawyers generally know the answer to the question before they ask. If you do your work right, you generally know what the answer is before you ask it. So you know if you're not getting the truth. I really, really, really believe. I really believe that Daryl Issa knows exactly what's in the documents that he's seeking. I don't think this is a fishing expedition. Now, by that, you know, they throw out some bait. They see what they catch. I don't think this is one of those fishing expeditions. Now, again, you're going to get, at some point, that's what the spin from the White House is going to be. Oh, this is just a fishing expedition. They're just trying to see if there's anything there. I don't think that's the case. I think Daryl Issa and the lawyers that are investigating this for the Government Oversight Committee in Congress, I think they know exactly what's there. I think they know what's in the documents they're seeking. And I think that's one of the reasons they're seeking the documents as aggressively as they are. I think they know that if they get the documents that they are seeking, if they get the documents that Eric Holder is so committed and determined to hide from them, that it will prove more than what's been alleged so far.
Up next, the presidential race here on the countdown.
Hey, honey.
Hi, Dad.
What you drawing?
It's our house. That's you.
Oh.
Me.
Huh?
Mom and Josh.
Wow.
Playing ball.
You are becoming quite the artist.
When you're a kid, you don't know that home ownership builds communities. That owning a home contributes to higher self-esteem and better test scores. You just know that home is where you play, grow, and learn. The National Association of Realtors wants you to know that home ownership matters to our families, our neighborhoods, and our country. Learn more at houselogic.com/homeownership.
Musicians, the biggest musical instrument event of the summer is here with savings up to 83% off retail. It's Guitar Center's 4th of July sale. Now through the 4th, grab your copy of The List. Hundreds of hand-picked deals on demos, overstocks, clearance, new items, and more. Plus four crazy in-store and online doorbuster deals like Snark handheld tuners, just $7. Fender full-size acoustics, $98. And up to $500 off closeout electronic drum kits. It's Guitar Center's 4th of July sale now through Wednesday. Hurry, the best deals always go first.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. Right now, Quicken Loans is proud to offer you our exclusive Yorgage, a mortgage that's custom fit for you. It's a fixed rate home loan that allows you to select a term that works best for your individual needs, anywhere from 8 to 29 years. The rate today on our 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates rank Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. It's really this simple. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on an 8-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Other restrictions may apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When disaster hits and mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video over 1 million people have viewed to discover the 37 food items that will sell out first when disaster strikes at 123survivalplan.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
So you don't want to carry a gun, but you do want to ensure your personal safety. Then empower yourself legally with self-defense products from StunGunMikes.com. Stun guns come in more shapes than just what you see on TV. Now you can get a powerful mini stun gun that fits in the palm of your hand, a stun baton, or a cell phone or lipstick stun gun. StunGunMikes.com also carries real spy gear like bug and metal detectors and discreet car and home security cameras that hide in almost any type of everyday object, from alarm clocks to pens. Now you can see how your babysitter really treats your children. Go to StunGunMikes.com, spelled just like it sounds. StunGunMikes.com. Buy real spy gear from StunGunMikes.com, just like the exact same spy gear sold to the government, military, corporate security, law enforcement, and private detectives. Empower yourself with self-defense products now from StunGunMikes.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen. Welcome back into the second half hour of this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Yes, the presidential race is next. Here's an interview with Jennifer Granholm. She talks about the problem of too much money getting tied up in both sides of the campaign.
We talk a lot about the influence of money in politics. It is the defining issue of this era. But in case you need one more reason to loathe the flood of money in politics, let me offer a different perspective, which is that of politicians. It may be easy to assume that politicians actually love being showered in money, but here's the secret. The truth is, most of us hate it. Hate it. Candidates, of course, almost always enter politics with this high-minded notion of changing the world, but whether their race is local or statewide or national, they have to spend hours upon hours every single day raising the money to run. Now, you may not think that's a big deal, but I'm telling you, it is all-consuming. Even the most jaded among you would be shocked to know how much time it takes to raise the money necessary to win an election. And it's worse than you think. Today, President Obama spent his entire day raising money at five fundraisers. And he's the incumbent. That's a whole day that could have been spent on more important priorities, like, well, just about anything. But he's about to be outspent 10-1. So if he doesn't compete financially, he's not going to have the chance to act on those important priorities in a second term. It's tough enough for politicians to do essentially two jobs, to campaign and to govern. But in this age of billion-dollar campaigns, a third job, that of fundraiser, has become completely dominant. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, the candidate with the most money does win 9 out of 10 congressional races and 8 out of 10 in the Senate. And, you know, it's just as bad for other candidates. I've run for office, and I've won three times, twice as governor, once as attorney general. But I spent hours and hours every single day and night raising the money to do it. In my reelection for governor, I ran against this guy who's a billionaire, and he could vastly outspend me on his own. So I had to compete. I didn't have the money. I had to fundraise. And it made me sick. I hated every minute of fundraising. I would sit in this cheap temporary office for hours with stacks of call sheets, dialing and begging people to donate. And, you know, friends avoided my calls. And if I didn't reach my daily goal, I had to pull overtime. I was already doing double shifts. I was at this tiny desk with one of those thermometer charts tracking my progress. And believe me, as a sitting governor, like all governors, I really did have better things to do. And that is what killed me. I so wanted just to do my job as governor. That's what people elected me to do. But as my fundraising people reminded me over and over again, you won't be able to do that job unless you raise the money. And believe me, I'm certainly not alone in this story. My experience all took place before Citizens United. I cannot even imagine how much worse the pressures are now. That case has corrupted our political system. So our politics is no longer about doing the will of the people. It's about raising the money from some of the people. And there isn't time to do anything else as a politician. So you can see why so many good men and women are no longer willing to serve in elected office. This is not a partisan issue. This is a national crisis. And the fix to get money out of politics is clear. We need to amend our Constitution to save our democracy.
From our affiliate WDEL in Wilmington, host Alan Laudell talks to Alex Burns from Politico.com about the president's recent resurgence in the polls.
Tell us about the latest polling.
Well, Alan, we've seen a couple polls in the last just 24, 48 hours this morning. Quinnipiac University out with a couple state-level polls showing Obama's ahead of Romney by 4 points in Florida, ahead 9 points in Ohio, 6 points in Pennsylvania. This follows yesterday's NBC Wall Street Journal poll, which showed that among voters in swing states, Obama's ahead of Romney overall by 8 points.
Could it be the effects of some of the attacks on Romney's record at Bain Capital that is hurting him?
I think there's no question that the level of Democratic negative advertising in some of these states has begun to take a toll on Romney. It's hard to say whether it's the Bain issue specifically, because the campaign, the Obama campaign, has been running ads both about Bain and Romney's record in Massachusetts. But I think you are starting to see Romney's negatives go back up. As we saw during the primary, you're starting to see voters register some concerns about his business background.
Now, if you are an Obama person, or indeed a Romney person, in as much as the president has had some fairly negative news on the economy, consumer confidence is down, yeah, gas prices are down too, but hey, the overall psychological feel has been rather negative. It has to be sobering for the Romney people that their guy is down when Obama has had these back wins.
You know, I think there's certainly a sigh of relief in the sort of Obama community this week. It has been a very rough month for him, starting with the jobs numbers that we saw just that first week there. You know, for the Romney campaign, they're, I think, pretty circumspect about where the race is right now. I think anyone would love to be ahead, but at the end of the day, they are running against an incumbent president, and their hope and really their core assumption in this entire campaign is that at the end of the day, Obama's economic record is just going to be insurmountable for him, no matter what goes on TV with negative ads.
Up next, the immigration reform discussion. Wow, another hot one. We'll do it next here on The Countdown.
Final days of Lumber Liquidators liquidation sale.
Three global flooring suppliers came to us to liquidate their excess inventory. We bought the flooring, and you get the deals at our major meal liquidation sale. If it's in stock, it's on sale, but you must pick it up before the month ends. Get first quality laminates, hardwood, and bamboo for up to 54% less. Plus, too many other amazing deals to mention here. And get special extended financing. These deals will not last. If it's in stock, it's on sale, but only through Saturday at Lumber Liquidators. Visit LumberLiquidators.com for your local store.
Are you tired of so-called experts telling you what to do all the time? You may be considering a mortgage to purchase or to refinance a home. Or if you're 62, you might be considering the government's reverse mortgage program. Well, don't believe everything you hear. Take your own action and call today for a free guide filled with up-to-date information on mortgages, home purchasing, renewing reverse mortgages, and credit restoration. The guides are free and full of facts you need to know. The Center for Sound Consumer Advice is dedicated to keeping you informed. Still the only consumer advocacy referral service in America, where since 2004, there's never been a fee and never, ever even one complaint. Call today for your free mortgage guide. Call 800-593-6405. That's 800-593-6405. Call today for your free mortgage guide. Again, that's 800-593-6405.
Everyone loves a road trip, especially with zero-calorie Pepsi Max and the bold, awesome crunch of Doritos. And this summer, your road trips are about to get even better because Pepsi Max and Doritos are rocking your summer with free music. Just buy both Pepsi Max and Doritos and you'll score a free download of this summer's hottest hits. So take your free tunes and make your summer road trips rock. Don't wait. Let Pepsi Max and Doritos rock your summer.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Program ends May 13th through August 31st. Subject to official rules. Visit PepsiRocksNow.com.
The war had been gone for 2 years, and I got the calling. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush this aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org. The wounds are invisible. The stories are real.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
Stop by Ace this weekend through July 4th and save $10 on a canopy chair, now just $19.99.
The weekend is coming!
Or save $8 on a kid's canopy chair, now just $9.99. So visit your local Ace and get saving, then get your weekend back. At Ace, the helpful place. Price is good at participating Ace stores June 29th through July 4th. Additional conditions and exclusions apply.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
See store for details.
Immigration reform is where we are right now conversationally. Here's host Todd Feinberg with Bob Dane from the Federation for American Immigration Reform. They talk about the ruling by the Supreme Court on the Arizona law and the president's change in immigration policy.
It's a couple days later. You've had time to contemplate it.
Well, we've gone through 3-4 days now of just complete nuclear meltdown, a constitutional crisis on this immigration issue, clearly a political crisis. Last week, what was it, Thursday or Friday, the President of the United States of America declares that America has a new plan to deal with the legal immigration, a new amnesty plan for up to 1.5 million illegal aliens. We didn't know anything about it. Congress wasn't consulted. The President usurped the congressional authority to regulate immigration. We get a Supreme Court decision. And then 2.5 hours after we get the Supreme Court decision, which didn't go well, the president pulls out more tools, more illegitimate, more illegal tools, using the apparatus of the Department of Homeland Justice to basically nullify any gain that Arizona had.
You don't like
it? Yeah, it's been a couple of busy days.
You don't like the new system where you don't have to mess around with writing bills and having committee hearings and all that kind of stuff?
Well, hey, look, you know, it's good to be king. I forget what the name of that movie is where Mel Brooks just stares at the camera. But in America, we have a president who is obligated under the Constitution to carry out all of the laws enacted by Congress. And by the way, here's a wake-up call. Congress makes immigration laws, not the executive branch.
The court was saying that the practice of Arizona, whatever it was doing, basically, was unconstitutional because the right to make those rules and to enforce those rules, if I'm interpreting this correctly, belongs with the federal government. The understanding had always been, the assumption always was, and I believe prior court rulings supported the notion that even though it was the charge of the federal government to make and enforce immigration law, that that could not be done without the cooperation of the states, and it was expected that they would work together. Where are we now? Is this a big change? Am I correct in my assumptions?
You are. Look, when the decision was first announced, it looked pretty good. The major section was kept in. The others were tossed out as the day went on, and we read the reasons, the rationale for the court's thinking. We didn't like it. It became apparent it was a very bad decision. Section 2 was kept in. That was the big section, and briefly, that just allows the state to require their law enforcement officers to inquire about immigration status. That's good, because that's going to fuel more state action. It's going to provide, I think it gives more momentum to the idea that the states are not totally excluded from participating in immigration enforcement. That's good. And the court said, you can do this because this is what Congress has encouraged, the sharing of information. So Section 2 was kept in. That was good. The other sections were scrapped. They were thrown out. And the justices claimed basically two things. One is that the federal government has preemptive authority over broad areas of immigration enforcement already. Of course, they ignored the fact that the executive branch is using that authority to dismantle immigration enforcement. The court said that just because the administration isn't doing its job doesn't mean the state can, even when the state law mirrors federal laws perfectly. So the net result, and certainly to Obama's favor, is that now no one is doing much enforcement.
From affiliate KFAB in Omaha, host Crash Davis talks to Nebraska State Senator Charlie Jansen about whether the Supreme Court ruling on the immigration law was a victory or a defeat for states in general.
Were you surprised by how the Roberts Court ruled on this issue?
You know, I wasn't really surprised about it, but when I first heard about it, I was really excited. I looked at it as a win because the major aspect or the backbone of the bill that I ran similarly in Nebraska was the actual checking on people to ask them for law enforcement. So we didn't handcuff law enforcement so the police officers, sheriffs out there could ask people if there was reasonable suspicion and do their job. And that was the main part of it, and that was the main part of the bill in Arizona. So when that was held up, I was pretty excited. Last night, when I found out that this administration has just run roughshod not only over the Constitution but also over the U.S. Supreme Court, I was very disappointed in the fact that I think the Supreme Court said it's the federal government's job. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what they said.
That is a quote. It is, yes. That is the exact quote, as a matter of fact.
And the federal government and President Obama, or at least his administration, immediately told one of our states that is probably the most oppressed by illegal immigration that, by the way, we're taking away this program from you. You can no longer even do what the Supreme Court just said. So that's very scary to me as not only a state senator, but as a United States citizen.
Talk host Michael Berry with a focus on the way illegal immigration impacts almost every facet of our society.
Illegal immigration is all around us. It affects the price of goods. Many people have hired illegal aliens. Oh, you may not have been sure of it, but you had a pretty good idea. You didn't ask to cut the grass or haul out some trash or clean out the garage, maybe pulled up to Home Depot and picked up a couple folks to help you haul some stuff for the day. I mean, because where are you going to find somebody to do this? Or maybe you're a school teacher, you're teaching where people are illegal aliens, or maybe you own a business and you hire illegal aliens and they've been great workers for you. Or maybe you've been a victim of a crime at the hands of an illegal alien. One thing I will not tolerate people telling me that the reason some Americans don't like illegal immigration is because of racism. We can disagree on all sorts of issues. We can have honest disagreements, and that's fine. But what I will not tolerate trying to shut down the conversation. Trying to shut down the conversation by attacking people who have perfectly reasonable positions, and the reason they do it is because it's effective. And the reason they do it is because we tolerate it. It's a story out of South Carolina. South Carolina man killed in a crash, drunk illegal alien. I want you to imagine the outrage for those of you who have children. Your child is in a crash where a drunk illegal alien crashes into him and kills him. And then I want you to imagine that you get a bill in the mail related to the crash. Everything from cleaning up your child's blood off the road to towing his car away from the crash site from which he was killed. Loretta Robinson, the mother of this man who was killed, not only had to bury her own son, killed by a drunk illegal, but was forced to pay a number of bills related to that crash. She says she had to pay to have her son's car towed, to clean up the street following the crash, to have the car stored in case there was a trial. The illegal alien pled guilty, sentenced to 17 years in prison, and didn't pay a penny. Now, is she a bad person?
Recent elections in Egypt seem to be of concern for some talk hosts, so let's get into that next year.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
I live in my car, sometimes a rental car. Every day, I find a nice quiet place to pull over and meet a client through WebEx, face to face on my smartphone. This is the way to do business.
The new free version of WebEx Meetings lets you take your office anywhere, your desktop, laptop, or mobile device. Get your free WebEx Meetings basic account now at WebEx.com. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com. WebEx.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The talk media in general, the hot hits, the big subjects, and that includes Egypt. Here's host Jeff Dunn with CBS Middle East correspondent Edward Uranian. They talk about what we know so far regarding Egypt's new president and his plans once he'll officially take office.
What is President-elect Mohamed Morsi saying regarding his plans as the president-elect?
Mr. Morsi has been very moderate in his declarations. He said he was going to appoint both a woman and a Christian as his vice presidents. Of course, Egypt traditionally has not had a vice president, at least not since Hosni Mubarak was Anwar Sadat's vice president. And in those days, there was only one vice president. So if you have two vice presidents, obviously neither one will become president. And that begs the question, of course, that the Muslim Brotherhood does not want either a Christian or a woman as president. So if he were to die, they wouldn't want either of them to be president. So what's the point? I mean, it's mostly cosmetic.
Two questions that I have. Number one, what's the feel of the Egyptian people this morning as you speak with them? And I'll just ask for that answer first.
I think opinion is very divided. I think the 52% that voted for Mr. Morsi is very pleased, and the 48% that voted for the former Prime Minister, Ahmed Shafiq, is very displeased. I think that once the ruling was given as to who won the election, much of the tension that was in the air sort of dissipated, but I don't think that's sort of soothed some of the wounds over the election. And once again, the Muslim Brotherhood candidates, well, the Muslim Brotherhood has a certain agenda, a certain tradition of ideas that it sort of supports, like Sharia law. They've sort of downplayed that and cut the tone on it, but I think many people worry that they're still looking to implement it at some point, vague point in the future. So I think there's disquiet, and I would use that word. Yes.
And finally, Edward, what is the United States' stake in this? Are we taking a side? Are we sitting on the sidelines? Are we participating behind the scenes? What do you know about our involvement?
I think that many of the old State Department hands, people who have been there for a long time, are a bit reluctant to go with the Muslim Brotherhood. And I think Secretary Clinton and President Obama have pretty much endorsed Mr. Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood, which, of course, begs the question as to why there is a divide there. I suspect that perhaps there are a number of reasons, subterranean reasons, which I, as a correspondent, shouldn't go into. But, yes, I think maybe there are some political dealings with countries in the Gulf who have reassured them that it's not such a bad thing. But I personally would be a bit leery of wholly endorsing the Muslim Brotherhood.
Here's talk host Helen Glover with Middle East expert Dr. Andrew Bostom about the new Egyptian president, the Muslim Brotherhood, and connections to the U.S.
I was a little nervous whenever I see thousands and thousands of people in the street chanting Allahu Akbar and someone who had ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. Say what you want about Mubarak. He kept the Muslim Brotherhood in check. And you and I have been having that conversation about whether or not this is actually something good, this Arab Spring, or are we going to get this?
Yeah, well, these are the popular sentiments. As we've discussed this once before, the well-known Democratic pollster Doug Schoen, all the way back in February of 2011, didn't conduct any new polls, but just reviewed the polling data that were available out of Egypt, and he predicted as he does that if there were a free and fair election, a traditionalist Islamic party like the Muslim Brotherhood would succeed because of the attitudes of the Egyptian population.
And they had the most organization, didn't they? I mean, there were a lot of splinter groups, but they were the, even though they I saw something about they were about 10%, they said, of the population, but they were very, very well organized.
Right, right. The 10% of the population, I mean, those were the grossly inaccurate estimates.
Mm.
They epitomized so much of what the Egyptian population wants, although they were competing parties. In other words, they were competing for the traditionalist vote. And if you look at what happened earlier in terms of the constituent assembly, where essentially 70% of the constituent assembly represented traditionalist Islamic parties, that's actually more compatible with the polling data that Doug Schoen had reviewed in 2011. I think there was some second thoughts at the last minute when it boiled down to two presidential candidates just in terms of economic stability and other issues. But overall, there's no question that the Muslim Brotherhood, it has a 75-year history now, really represents the overall sentiment of the Egyptian population.
Lots of hot stuff on the countdown today, and you can check out more details, more information, if you will, at DougStephan.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.